The Gemara in Chulin, Adav Kuf Lamed Tesem of Beis, and is not to be confused with that which you see sometimes from Eishet Torah and the Bible codes. It wants to know the perm story min haTorah minayin, which means where do I know Haman min haTorah minayin, Esther min haTorah minayin, and Mordechai min haTorah minayin. Three questions the Gemara on Kuf Lamed Tesem of Beis in Chulin asks. Again, there are people, if you go to Eishet Torah, to Discovery Seminar, you'll see the same thing. They have Bible codes, they'll show you where everyone's found in the Torah, skip this amount of letters, you'll see their sefer and their name and where they grew up and the day they died. I'm not talking about Bible codes. Over here, the Gemara wants to know, and I'll read inside with you right now very quickly. Minayin means Lamasa Haman. Where do we see a Haman? The story of Haman in the Torah. Everything's written in the Torah. Where do we see it found? The Gemara says, what the Gemara says? Do we know? The Gemara states, it's this pasuk in the beginning of Bereishis, Gimel, I think it's Gimel Yud Aleph. It's Hamin Ha'etz. Haman Ha'etz. He was hanging on a tree. Perfect. Same letters, Hamin Ha'etz, Haman Ha'etz. That's the source for Haman. Okay, listen, I'm not getting into it. There's a much deeper stuff. I'm not addressing Haman. I'm addressing the last one, Mordechai. But I'm just going to tell you, everyone is sourced. Now, I'll talk about Haman a little bit, maybe. There are certainly more than just the letters are the same, and that Ha'etz is a tree he was hanging on. That's what Rashi says. Rashi over here says, he was told Ha'etz, he was hung on a tree.
Okay.
Or hanged, I don't know which one. Hanged? It's always my focus, I don't know which one to say. Whatever it is. He was killed on the tree. Haman Ha'etz, that's what Rashi brings down. There's a lot more you can tell you about that. For example, what was Haman's argument? Forget argument. What was the Nachash who was referring to? Hamin Ha'etz, from the tree that's on you ate from? The Nachash convinced her. What did the Nachash do? First to create a doubt, create a suffix. Maybe God only wants not to eat from the tree. You know why? Because then you'll be like God. He's afraid you'll be like him. He created doubt in her mind. You know what Amalek's gematria is? The same gematria as Suffolk. Amalek is all about doubt. Originally, when we went and we left the shrine, we were untouchable. No one would ever even question that God was in charge. He was running the show. He was watching over us until Amalek came. And Amalek said the Rashi goes to Medrash that has the following analogy. It's like, imagine you have a scalding hot bath. And it says, so no one would go close to it because it would burn you right away. But the first person who goes in, it cools the bath down for everybody else. So no one would go in. But all of a sudden comes a Malik and jumps into the bath, a scalding hot bath, and gets burnt. But now it makes it, everyone else can now jump in also because now the whole temperature is cooler because they took some of the heat themselves. And therefore, a Malik creates a suffix, a certain amount of doubt. And that's what Haman is. Haman is a Malik. Haman is about suffix. I'll tell you one more nice idea maybe of where you see that the concept of a Malik / Haman in the story of the Nachash. What was Adam and Chava originally told? Don't eat from the tree, because if you eat from the tree, what does it say?
Keep
you out of it. No. What does it say when you eat from the tree?
Die.
You'll die. But what does it say? It says the day you eat from the tree, you're going to die.
Right.
So what happens now? Seth says, what did the Nachash do? He gave a little bump, a little hip check. The Nachash had a hip at the time, maybe. They had legs, yeah. Right? Hip check. She bangs into the tree, because she told the snake, you can't even touch the tree, she told the snake. Touches the tree. And look, he says, look, you didn't die. So now you know that I was right all along. So the question she should ask, come on, is, what do you mean I didn't die? I didn't die yet. They didn't end yet. Maybe I'll die before the evening time. Again, it's the day you feel you're going to die. So what's the pshat? Why didn't she say that? So the answer is, what the Nachash was saying to Chava was the following. There's two choices here. You're going to die because you should never have touched it, and I pushed you into it, so you're going to die. Or the whole thing is a farce, you're not going to die. If you're not going to die, so you're home free. And if you're going to die, don't you want to die in a full stomach? Like, go down swinging while you're at it. You're already going to die. You might as well enjoy it. Take it. It's pretty good. Pretty tasty. That's also a shot of a mug. It's the Yetzer Hara. It's all about, you messed up, you know what? You messed up already. You're homeless. There's no way. You might as well just throw in the towel while you're at it. You messed up, so there's no chance for you. One of the most frustrating things for people is they make goals themselves. They mess up one time. They say, stink. They give up. I didn't get to my goal. I messed up. I want to get from every single day. I want to go every single day the next month. They missed the fifth day. Stink. And they stopped going now because I had to make it. So you made your mistake one time. So what? So you try to get better the next day. You're just going to throw. Okay, I messed up, so I'll throw the towel right now. That's what Haman's all about. That is the Amalek and Yetzer Hara type of point of view. And that maybe is the connection between besides the fact it's true, as Rashi points out, that Haman was killed on a Eitz, Hamin Ha'Eitz, but maybe you can even go deeper than that, and many do. How about Esther? What's the source of Esther?
Esther.
Anochi Esther, Esther Panai. Hashem promises or threatens us that we will. Hashem will hide His face from us when you know, in times when we are not behaving the right way, and He will not be so visible to the naked eye. So that sounds like it's not a good thing. It's part of a klala. Not a good thing.
He wasn't in the whole Seder.
So here he says it's not about Esther. It's about the mice of Esther. I'll read Rashi to you in the Gemara. Hester, Hester, Bimei Esther, yeah, Hester upon him. In Esther's time, there was Hester upon him. God was hidden, and it refers to Esther. But I think, though, it's not about the days, it's about Esther herself. That Esther herself is someone, number one, who herself hid her truth. She hid who she was. Mordechai told her, and she did not reveal who she was. She herself was hidden. Not only was she hidden, but she was able to see God when God was hidden also. She was able to sense God. She risked her life. She could have been killed in a second. And she risks her life because she knows that God, even when He's hidden, is still there.
But she only risks her life after Mordechai came.
Okay, good. So hold on a second. Good. Well, that's not true. She was good. The whole time she risked her life, really. Her being in the king's palace of Ozan is a tremendous risk. It's true. She really doubly or triply or whatever risked it when that happened. You're absolutely correct. But let's focus on Mordechai. This is what I'm spending the next, let's say, 10 minutes discussing quickly. It says by Mordechai. I don't know the source of Mordechai is. Mordechai min HaTorah Minayin. I'm very disappointed when I tell you what it is if you don't know it already. I'm very disappointed. It's not exciting.
Where
at all.
Is it?
It's in Shmos Perek Lamed.
That's Mishkan.
That's this part.
Bitter water.
Yes. Well, it's not this part. It's in the end of Lamed. Towards the end of Lamed.
Amen. Dover.
Parsha Kitisa. I'll read for you inside. Stop me when you get to it. Stop me when you hear the line that refers to Mordechai. But the very Hashem Moshe Lamor. The Atah.
Stop.
No, I'm just kidding.
Joke.
The Atah, Kach Lecha B'Samim Rosh Mor Dror Chamesh Me'oz V'Kin Man Besem Machatiso Chamishim U'Masayim U'Kne Bosem Chamishim U'Masayim
Mor
Dror. I mean, Haster, Hastir, Esther, I hear it. Hamin, Ha'etz, Haman, I hear it. More drawer. Sounds a little like it. But says the Gemara, it's not even the words. You know the Aramaic, the Unkel's translation, more drawers? Are we even inside right now? It says, right now, one plus man. Pasuk. I got lost. Pasuk of Gimel. Lam paragraph of Gimel. She says over here, it says, V'at savlach busmin reisha mira dachya. That's the answer. And the Gemara doesn't explain. Now you understand. Let's go later. Next discussion we're having Gemara. It doesn't say anything more than that. I'll read it to you inside just so you believe me. It says, Mor hametar minayin dechsiv mor dror umetar gemina. In the Aramaic translation, Uncle says, Maria dachya. Period. Okay, so Rashi doesn't leave us hanging. This, even though last before I felt he did a little bit leave us hanging. But here Rashi comes in and he assists us and says, no, you don't understand. It's Rosh B'samim. This is the choices of spices. And just like he was Rosh of the Tzadikim in the Ashi Gadola, he was, okay, fine. His name is almost there. And it's talking about spices and the best of spices. And he was the best of the Ashi Gadola. So he gives an explanation. He gives a shot to it. Years ago, I was looking something. I still felt there was something missing a little bit. I felt like you had to look a little deeper than just that shot. And I looked basically every sefer I had in the parsha, and I found not within the story of the Megillah, but on this pesukim, next week's parsha, and I found an imdav in Siv. Doesn't say anything about Mordechai at all, but he says that this spice, this type of a plant is very unique. I'll read to you inside. This type of plant is a plant. He says, "Go'ilan yeshlo makom gidulo v'teva." Every tree has a place that it grows; its natural environment. It belongs. Umuvel medina acheres, and then you bring it outside of its natural habitat. V'aleilim bo legadlo shama, and you try your hardest, your amel. You try so hard to recreate its environment. B'tach bolos shukmo bal korcho. Against its will, he tried. You kidnap the tree. You kidnap the plate. He tried to give what it needs. But with all of your attempts, with all your efforts, lo yitav these kadelk will makom yidulo b'teva. It will not succeed in growing in the place it belonged originally. Even if I make the same environment, I get the same climate, the same amount of rain, the same amount of animals around. It's beautiful. It will not grow. At least not like it should have. What's pshat? So I think if you look for a second at the Megillah, Mordechai is the key, the climax, and the change of the Megillah happens. I'll read to you inside. Just slip him inside. We'll give a little bit of a. So that's true, but that's not part I'm going to focus on over here.
And Esther says the.
Says Mordechai to Esther. Let's go a little bit. We'll go through the a little bit of the. To the Perek Dalet. Perek Dalet in Pasuk. Oh, sorry. Yeah, Perek Dalet. It says, Pasuk Alf, Mordechai found out that Haman was given the ring, and that Haman had given this decree, and they were going to kill everybody. And he dresses up in Sakva Efer. We read it in the Eicha Tun. It's very sad, right? And he goes out, by he cries out bitterly. And Esther hears it. She's like, you can't do this by the king's palace. You can't dress like this and be sorrow like this in the king's palace. And she sends a messenger to bring him clothes and say, clean up what? Shave. Change your garments. It's a chutzpah. The king get upset. You don't want to anger the king. And he returns it down. And she says, what's going on here? And he gets back word by Agedlo Mordechai. It's called Sher Karal. He told the password onto Esther, the whole story, that there was money changed hands, and Haman was given the right to kill all of us. And those letters went out, and everywhere in the world, Jews are going to be destroyed. And Hasach goes, that's the messenger, he tells Esther the word of Mordechai. Esther's back to Mordechai, listen. You know, and he goes, he basically says, you got to go inside the king's chamber right now. And you got to take care of business. You got to save us. And she says back to him. She's like, I can't do that. She says back. She says, call that melech. The amid knows a melech. Everyone knows. Yodin. Asher kol ish asher yavoh melech el achatzer ha-primis asher lo yikarei. If I walk into the king's chambers, I've been called the king's chambers. Achaz dazo. Same rule for everyone. La mis, including me. I'll be killed. Unless the king extends his scepter. His shabita zahav, then you can live. And I have not been called there for 30 days already. He hasn't called me, he doesn't wish to see me, and if I show up in front of him without being called, it's my head, I'm done, it's over. Vayigidu l'mordechai, it's Divrei Esther. Vayomer Mordechai l'ashiv el Esther. This is Lanavir. Al t'dami ben ha-sheikh l'malei beis ha-melech m'kol yidim. Don't fool yourself, Esther. You think that you're going to be able to be the one who survives of all the Jews? You're going to stay in the king's palace. You close your eyes to what happens. The Jews will be killed. No one knows about you. You're going to survive. Puzzle Gidal, Perak Dal. Ki'im hacharish hacharishi. Ba'ei sazos. If you remain silent at this period of time, Rebach v'hatzalah yabod yudin makam achar. There will be salvation. The Jews will never be killed. They won't be destroyed. Someone else will save us. And you, ubeis avich tovedu. You and your family will be lost. Now, they won't be lost. She'll survive. She's not in the right habitat anymore. She decided that I'm going to try to pretend I'm over here and I'll survive maybe. So you're never going to survive over there. And then he says the clincher. Maybe this is why you're here. The whole story with Vashti and the drinking. This is it. Like, this could be the climax. Is your life at stake? Certainly. We're all at stake right now. You probably could survive physically if you just ignore what's happening. You probably could survive. We won't die. We'll be saved. But you and your family, not only you, but your entire family from this point forward will be lost. Why? Because you're trying to grow in a place that's not your habitat. Because you're a vegetation that was taken from its right place, and now you think you can belong over here. You don't belong over here. And this is it. This is the moment why you were taken in the first place. And you can't hide it anymore. And that's what Mordechai was all about. Mordechai was all about someone who was saying, you have to know who you are. You have to know what your job is in life, what your role is in life. Don't be someone that you're not. You think you're going to be saved when you act like someone else? You have to act like yourself. Whatever that means, whatever you are, you have to be you. And I'll tell you the truth, I've seen many times people who who decided not to act like themselves, but to act like somebody else. They look at somebody else, they try to be like somebody else. You're taking a beautiful plant with potential, and you're replanting it somewhere else where it doesn't belong, trying to give it all the trimmings and trappings that it needs to survive. It's not going to survive there. It will not thrive. At ubeis avich toveda, you will be lost. Could you physically be still walking on the earth? You certainly might be. But you will be a goner. You have no more ability to sprout and be great. This chapter is the same chapter. I've heard this in the chapter before by Moshe Rabbeinu. It says that Moshe Rabbeinu, when he first went out to see his brothers, he saw someone beating somebody else, Mitzri being a Jew. So he turned this way and he turned that way. He saw there was no ish. I heard one time it says that Moshe Rabbeinu was a complex person. He grew up as a Mitzri, but he's a Jew. So what is he going to do? He turned this way. Not physically. He looked inside of himself. This way. The Mitzri side of himself. The other way. The Jew side of himself. But Yar, he saw, I will not be an ish if I stay Mitzri. I will not be an ish. I won't be called Haish Moshe Adam Mikol Adam. I won't be that ish. I'll just be a regular Mitzri. I won't be special. I won't be what I'm supposed to be. And what does he do? He kills. It says, Vayach es a Mitzri. It says, I don't know if I should get this shot, but he hit not the Mitzri, he hit his own Mitzri. He took that Mitzri that was part of him and he destroyed it. He buried it. But he put it in the ground. That's not me. I'm not a Mitzri. I'm a Jew. And he lived his life that way from that point forward. Whether it's risk of his life, it was. He was chased at Mitzrayim, almost killed. For sure. But that's not who he was. He couldn't live that way. In the last few days, I've seen events that are much more non-Jewish by nature with Jewish undertones. And I've seen very Jewish events with non-Jewish undertones. My wife told me the other day, she pointed out to me, I didn't know this before, I'd never heard the song before, that the Song of the Olympics, the most non-Jewish event you can imagine, is sung by a Jew. I don't care what you say. I have to say about the person who sings it. I don't care right now about that. But the fact is that the most non-Jewish body-serving game, or the game set of games we have, the Olympics, which was the Greek invention, who, by the way, wanted to destroy us spiritually. And yet the song that is the symbol of the game that you watch a commercial and it's playing in the background is a song by Matisyahu about, I'm sure, Jewish concepts and ideas. I think it's very special. It's ironic, certainly, and special that you have this whole non-Jewish event going on, and in the background you hear singing a certainly outside-looking, a very firm-looking Jew. And someone who's probably means Jewish ideals in this song. And yet it's playing the background of a very non-Jewish type of event. And then I heard the opposite recently. I got a phone call. I think maybe it was Sunday. I don't remember what day it was. And someone said to me, as you all know, those listening at home right now will hear also, Torah Traga and Torah Traga are both in the final four of the basketball championship. Two Torah Traga teams. And we have to schedule a game with ourselves. And someone asked me, let's schedule not for this Friday, but the next Friday, because there are people on one of the teams, or maybe both teams, that want to have a five-day perm. I'm not saying it's a joke. I know it's embarrassing a little bit. Even since I'm not sure they're in this room. But that they said, like, you know, Thursday is Tuesday. So it's a Friday, Shabbos, Sunday, Monday, what's really your perm? And I guess Yisro Chag, I don't know exactly how the fifth one is. That's 5 days. Maybe the Mentai's Esther also. 5 days, including that one drinking. Ki'iru, that we're going to take the opportunity of a Chag that's all about the one Chag that's going to remain for the future, forever, is the one Chag of perm. And I'm going to take a thing that's just screaming, the Kaddish Baruch Hu, screaming, and I'm going to take non-Jewish culture, and I'm going to use it as the backdrop of this Chag. What? I mean, like, you can't just say that I'm so excited to watch a commercial on my computer with a religious Jew singing in the background of a very honest event. I'm so depressed to hear that someone during his, okay, you want to say you're older already, you're not in yeshiva, you're not the only yeshiva on your mind, you're thinking business, okay, I hear that. We talk about people who are in yeshiva. To take the most kadosh, one of the most kadosh days we have, Rabbi Olson mentioned Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur is almost like Purim. And you want to spend it in a drunk stupor for 5 days? That, I'll tell you, sure, at ubeis avich tovedu, you and your people will be lost. You'll be lost. You think that's what you're here for? It's very hard to know what you're here for. People ask all the time, what's my role in the world? I don't know. If I knew, I would certainly be happy to tell you. But it's the second hardest thing is to know what your role in the world is. You know what the hardest thing is? Is once you know, is to do the right thing. That's even harder. But some things you don't know, it's hard to know, should I do this? Should I do that? That's a difficult. Should I be in this profession, in that profession? I don't know. It's very hard questions. I don't really answer those questions. If I did, I would try to tell every one of you. Question of myself, even. I don't know. But at least when you know already what's right and what's wrong, to choose willingly wrong, that's a maisa of Haman. That's a maisa of a malik. That's not a maisa of a Jew. And to take a chag, that's all about us, different than everyone else. A chag that was wronged. It was wrong because we spent it in the beginning enjoying our physical pleasures. And to do the same now, to have in mind the same thing right now, five excuse days to act like an animal and like a non-Jew is a little bit embarrassing. And I don't care if you're the one who said it or thought it or even heard it and smiled when you heard it. Something to smile about. That's something to be a little bit, you know, like, I can't believe at this point in the year where we're all holding right now. That's something where you're trying to find ways to take Jewish events and turn them into non-Jewish events. That's a little bit embarrassing. I'm going to tell you one last much. I'll end with one last minute and we'll end the review. He's ready, probably starting to feel bad that he took his time. Picture a guy has two friends. One friend is a friend he loves spending time with. The guy is a wild guy. He's hysterical. He's just very fun. And he's also very selfish. And you know that if he had to, he would leave you in a second. He doesn't care about you. But when you're with him, it's like, so it's great. Like, it's really like it's a party every time. That's guy one. Then you have guy two. Guy two is this like, quieter, nerdier maybe even. A guy who's, whatever, he's very reliable. He's always there for you. Not much exciting things going on, at least not that you're so excited about. Those are two people you have in your life. And there are times you have to choose between one of the two. I remember this movie I saw a long time ago, a guy who was a little bit nerdy, he was able to get into the cool crowd, he dropped his friends, and in the end he came back to his friends, even though he's much cooler at the end. He came back to his friends because he realized, those are my real friends, these guys are my real friends. We have in our lives the same thing. You have a body, and then you have a soul. The body is selfish, and it wants a lot of fun things. And it's great, by the way, if you ever do it, it's a lot of fun, it's exciting, selfish, and one day it won't be there for you anymore. But the soul is your best friend. Whenever you need him, he's right there. He wants to help you any way he can. He's okay, he's not so exciting, maybe sometimes a little nerdy, but he's true, and he cares for you. And in life, you have always these two battles that you have to pick between, the two, one or the other one. And I hope, and I pray for myself as well as for you, that we should be zocha to see, especially the Alec Purim, when it's not Pasha, it's not obvious, it's Hester, Aster. When you just, who's your real friend? What's the real you? What's the one that's so much fun and it's great, but it's not, in the end, it's not going to help you out. You're abandoning the guy. You have to ask yourself the question every single day. You know, Ham Minotaur Minayin, Esther Minotaur Minayin, and most importantly, Mordechai Minotaur Minayin. It's all about knowing who you are. And in a place that you don't belong, you will never survive. At ubeis
adiyot
toreidu.
Today,
because everyone got run downstairs.